For God bless his word. You just read Isaiah 7, verse 14. The motive that the Lord gave to me to choose the prophet Isaiah has been a big challenge. 66 chapters. It's not easy. I had to read them and hear them more than one time. And now I have some notes. But what I thought about this morning, about preparation and reading Isaiah 7, verse 14 and 15, we're not in Christmas right now, but we're in the Savior, which is better than being in Christmas. Salvation comes from Jehovah. That is the title of this preaching. The salvation comes from the Lord. The name of Isaiah means Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is my Savior. It is interesting that in the Old Testament, we can see Isaiah a little bit different than the rest of the prophets. Some people that study the Word of God have classified as Isaiah as the evangelistic prophet. Why? Because he announces the good news of salvation. We could say that the nation of Israel was divided after the death of Solomon, David's king, and the northern tribes organized themselves as Israel, and the two southern tribes as Judah. Judah and Benjamin were the southern kingdom. The capital of Israel was Samaria. The capital of Judah was Jerusalem. And Isaiah preached in Jerusalem, but his messages were so much for the northern kingdom and for the southern kingdom also. The book of Isaiah is divided, basically, in two sections that accumulate a good amount of chapters, each one. First, the condemnation for the sin of the people, chapters 1 to 39. Second, the consolation for faithfulness of God. And this is chapters 40 to 66. Basically, it speaks of the coming back of the remnant. Isaiah was believed to be a contemporary of Prophet Hosea and Micah. He did his ministry during four kings of Judah, according to Isaiah 1, verse 1. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. This could have occurred in the years 787 and 697 before Christ. Kings that had a period of about 113 years in their kingdom, of their government. Isaiah mentions some of the topics that when we read them, they call our attention as the birth of the Messiah, of a virgin. They had never heard of something like that, about peace on earth, that a virgin could give birth and give a birth to a child. Isaiah brings that news to us. But also, Isaiah presents to us in chapter 14, verses 12 to 16, the fall of Satan. There's only two prophets that describe this happening. Isaiah is one of them, and Ezekiel is the other one. There's another topic that should seem interesting to us, as it is, the roundness of the earth. And Isaiah 40, verse 22. If you remember, according to history, it took many years for a man to discover that the earth is round. If they had read back of Isaiah 40, you wouldn't have to waste time doing investigation. Man, note this, from running from the Word of God, man has ignored many truths throughout the years. What a sad thing. There's many people that are not Christians, and they're not converted to Christ, but they have done scriptures and made it their favorite book. They try to inform themselves on things reading the word of the Lord. One of the other topics is the destruction of the army of Assyria and Sennacherib, their king. This is tremendous. So how in one night, the angel of the Lord destroys of an army of almost 200,000 soldiers. Because of the faithfulness of the Lord to the kingdom of Israel. Because of the humility of Hezekiah before the Lord. That should call our attention to humble ourselves before the Lord, and it will bring positive results to our lives and much benefit to our lives. The reconstruction of Jerusalem by Cyrus is another topic that Isaiah talks about in 44. But what we believe that is more important is the topic of the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, described in chapter 53, verse 6 of Isaiah. Another topic that should be important for us in Isaiah is the establishing of the kingdom of the Messiah on the face of the earth. He's going to inaugurate and establish his kingdom where there will be justice and judgment, a kingdom where there will be peace for all those that participate in that kingdom. We can say that salvation that comes from the Lord begins with the promise of the Messiah. And it continues with the humbling of the nation of Israel, apart from the Lord, from the love that he has for them, and also for the promises to the patriarchs and the faithful men that served him with their heart, but finishes with the inauguration of the Messiah kingdom. First place, it begins with the promise of the Messiah. We already read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Something that is never mentioned before, but it is cited by the prophet Isaiah under the inspiration of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whoever that could read this scripture before the birth of Christ could have classified Isaiah a man that was out of order. They could have said that it's okay, the scriptures of Isaiah, that his messages were okay, his preachings are okay, but here he went too far. How is it possible that a virgin can give birth? We can say, how easy, because we have in the New Testament the narration of the birth of Jesus Christ. But when you're going to read in Luke and the narration that he gives, the encounter of Angel Gabriel with Mary, Mary herself says, how can this be if I do not know a man? She was a faithful young person. She was a young person that served the Lord with all her heart. But the attention with her was, how can this be possible? I don't know man. The message of Isaiah brought hope to the nation of Israel. And many Israelites, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, they were converted to the Lord. Thank you, brother. How'd you know that I needed some water? We say that many Israelites remember that the church began with Jews. The apostles, they were Israelites. They were Jews. They were religious people in the days of Jesus. And when we go to the book of Acts, and we see how the Lord used the Apostle Peter to preach with boldness the word of the gospel based on the suffering, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, this impacted many of the Jews. And thousands of Jews were converted to the Lord. In the first century, the church grew with the Jews. Unfortunately, that revival went going down more and more. So maybe today, there are only a few Jews that are in Christ. But it's not that there's no Jews. There are Jews that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say we are Messianic Jews. Last Sunday morning, I found one of them. And I was happy. He saluted me in Hebrew. He said, Shalom. It's the only thing that I know in Hebrew. But I called his attention. And he thought that I was converted to the Lord, and we had a great conversation. I'm saying that there are Jews that have converted to the Lord, that they are being converted. In South America, I know some pastors that are Jews of blood. They're born in Spanish countries. And they asked a preacher, of what are the 144,000 going to be that are going to preach the gospel during the tribulation? And he said, Jews of all nations under heaven. And that called my attention. Why? Because I always thought in Jews from Israel. But the Bible isn't saying that. The Bible says that they will be Jews, but not saying that they'll be born in Israel. Maybe it is. It's interesting that God can use Jews that are born in whichever country of the world and use them in whichever part of the world. If you consider, this is a parenthesis, brother, I'm not going to charge you for this. If you consider the great multitude that the Apostle John saw when the Lord asked him, and who are they? And where they come from? And John feels very, very difficult to respond. And he says, Lord, you know. In other words, he didn't say, Lord, I don't know. He said, Lord, you know. And the words of the Lord, these are those that have come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. And they're whitened in the blood of the Lamb. Do you believe that the Lord can use Jews born in the United States to preach the gospel in the United States during the tribulation? Jews born in Mexico, in Central America, in South America? Of course the Lord can do that. But all this message is based in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in the humble manger, but goes to the cross of Calvary, putting his life in our place to forgive us of our sins. Therefore, the Lord himself will give a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The name that the Lord is revealed by the Most Holy One to the prophet Isaiah. When we go to Matthew 1, verse 23, the angel is speaking to Joseph, says, the word is going to be accomplished. The scripture is going to be accomplished. A virgin shall give birth. She shall call his name Emmanuel. And then it adds, which being interpreted is, God with us. What a blessing that God, in his goodness, thought on us, and he visited us by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. God came to take a form of a man. God came to give his life on the cross of Calvary. Jehovah's Witnesses once said, so if God is the Lord Jesus Christ, God was dead when Jesus was on the cross. There was no God, right? What a tremendous discovery. I could explain that to them. The way, the human way of God, God the man, he died for us on the cross of Calvary. His human part, his physical part, because we, the human beings, we have sinned against him. Because we are born under the sinful inheritance from Adam and Eve. Therefore, God took the human form. The human part of God dies on the cross of Calvary. But his divine being is eternal. Jesus speaks in John chapter 3 with a tremendous teacher, Nicodemus, and says, no one ascended to heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man, that is in heaven. Where was the Lord? He was speaking with Nicodemus. But he says, the Son of Man that is in heaven. He said, I'm here, but also there in heaven. It's marvelous to speak about the God that is made man. God living with us. A Messiah, whose name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. A Messiah with characteristics that are unique. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah presents the Lord, our Savior, as the Son of God, and it presents him as the Holy, as the Eternal Father. It is speaking of the unity, the absolute unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have covered the part of the salvation that comes from the Lord begins with a promise of a Messiah. God, in his sovereign plan, made possible the provision of a Redeemer for all of us, the sinners. Someone told me last week, in the work, when you have a chance, I'm throwing arrows out there, and opportunities are presented to speak. And I cannot stop giving up using these opportunities to speak about Jesus. A co-worker said, my family lives close to God. He said, I am, and he pointed to himself, the black sheep of the family. And I said, well, you could think, we could paint you white, and then you're not going to be the black sheep anymore of the family. And I mentioned the word of Isaiah, chapter 1. If your sins were like scarlet as the snow, they would be made white. And if they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord promises to cleanse our lives, to cleanse our souls. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter that we were chosen to be covered, sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us who have recognized our guiltiness of sin, and we have found in Jesus Christ our salvation and our forgiveness, we have been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the words of Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 1? Justified by faith, we have peace through God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God sees you in Christ, when God sees me in Christ, He doesn't see. He sees us cleansed. He sees us cleansed with the blood of Christ. The salvation that comes from the Lord continues with the humble humility of a rebellious people, the people of Israel. The condition, the spiritual of Israel, could be considered as a condition that a very bad condition. They departed from the Lord. Isaiah 1, verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. When God sees us in Christ, He sees us as something that doesn't have anything attractive. He sees us as a putrefying wound that was that happened days ago, a sore that is there for weeks and has never been cleansed. It's dirty. It gives off an awful scent. Nobody wants to come close to it. That is the condition of the sinner without the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the way that God sees him. Isaiah says, all of us are as filthy rags, and our righteousness is as filthy rags. Outside of Christ, God does not want to come close to us, or He doesn't want us to come close to Him. But when we search for God by way of Jesus Christ, He receives us with all of His heart because He has paid that price to save our souls. The spiritual condition of Israel is a condition where they had been involved in idolatry. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Their land also was full of idols. They worshipped the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. We, by tendency, note this, by tendency, we say the Jews are very intelligent. Well, we cannot take away from that merit because many discoveries were made by the Jews in many of the countries of the world. But when we see this passage, we can see that really, they are not so intelligent. Look at what the passage says. In Isaiah 2, verse 8, it says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Knowing the all-powerful God, knowing the God that created the heaven and the earth, and all that we see, and what even what we don't see, they fabricated with their hands idols and images, and they worshipped to make of that idol a god. Spiritual unfaithfulness to the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 20 of Isaiah. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silvers, and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Isaiah is saying that the day is coming when Israel is going to turn from their idols and going to return to the Lord. He is saying, Isaiah is saying, that God has a moment prepared to put a period to the idolatry in Israel. And He's going to bring them to Himself so that they will be His people and they will worship Him to who is His God, who is their God. Isaiah 45, verse 15. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Only in the Lord there is salvation. In verse 16, Isaiah 45, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. The Lord has said that one day he will put an end to all idolatry, because salvation comes from the Lord. If you remember, the happening in Philippi, when Paul and Silas were imprisoned, when Paul and Silas were bound with chains, what they did, it says at midnight, they were praying and sung hymns to the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, a great earthquake came, and the foundations of the prison shook. And the poor jailer said, "And now, this is my last day of life." He took his sword out, and he wanted to take his own life, knowing that what would wait for him for having neglected his job was the death penalty. But he hears a voice in the background that says to him, "Don't do any harm to yourself, because all of us are here." It was the voice of the Apostle Paul. That poor warden of the jail was surprised tremendously. And he says, "How can it be that the doors are open and all the prisoners are still inside?" He says, asking for help, he came before Paul and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." The salvation comes from the Lord, is being imparted to the sinner by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he says to the Israelites, "This Jesus is the stone that is rejected, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In no other, not in Buddha, not in Muhammad, not in Karl Marx, not in any other. Only in Christ. The salvation that comes from the Lord is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, from memory, John chapter 14, verse 6, the words of the Lord. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." A co-worker said to me, "But Rufino, I am a good person. I try to do good things every time I can. I don't worry about myself, I worry about others." And I said, you do right things, that's good, but it's not sufficient for the salvation of your soul. Only in Christ there is salvation for the sinner. Why? Because the salvation that comes from the Lord has been imparted to humanity by the person of Jesus Christ. A people was chastised by love. Isaiah 2:10. Isaiah 2, verse 10. "Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty." When the Lord comes with judgment, the human that has not searched for him is going to try to hide himself. The Gospels say that many will search for death and they will not find it. the chastisement that God brings on the nation of Israel is a strong chastisement, but is a chastisement because of love. We believe that during the tribulation, they, at one point, will consider that that the Antichrist is the Messiah that has come, and they will accept him as such. But the moment will come when he goes in the temple that will be reconstructed, and he will say, "You worship me. I am the Almighty God." And the Israelites will realize in that moment that that Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary was truly the Messiah, the Savior. And there will be a tremendous conversion of Jews that will be saved by the work of Christ done on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah 2:19. "And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." Thanks to God. Because if we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior in our heart, the persons that stay behind when the rapture of the church happens, there will be people that will have to suffer a lot because the wrath of God is coming on the earth. Isaiah 2:21. "To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." The chastisement will not be only on the nation of Israel. The chastisement will be for all the earth. Every human being will experience the tremendous tribulation that is coming after the rapture of the church. Isaiah 65:11. "That those of you that leave the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not." The Lord says, "I am going to judge all those that will not seek me out." The salvation that comes from the Lord is culminated with the inauguration of the kingdom, the messianic kingdom, the kingdom of Christ over the face of the earth, where God promises to give to Israel the land. Isaiah 66:9. "I will bring Israel from my nation, and my chosen ones will inherit the earth, and my servants will dwell there." God says, "I'm going to bring you from where you are, and you'll be reunited, and they will serve me there." The earth that will be cleansed, Chapter 65:17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." God keeps being faithful to the nation of Israel in spite of the rebellion and the disobedience of them. Earth, where the joy will be permanent. In Isaiah 11, verses 5 and 6. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. There will be peace on the earth during the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Earth, where God will provide healing. Isaiah 29, verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. In a few occasions, when we are evangelizing people, I have tried to say to people that the opportunity for the poor is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the worst thing that can happen to someone is to be poor in this world and finish going to the eternity in poorness also, in poverty, without Jesus Christ in their heart. There will be justice and righteousness in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, inspired by the Lord, is giving us this type of message. Isaiah 35, in verse 6, then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. If you remember, when our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he did many miracles. He showed the ability that he was omnipotent. But these miracles are seen again in the millennial kingdom. It is a blessing of God that people with physical limitations, through Christ, they will receive healing, and a work that science cannot attain will be possible in the kingdom, millennial kingdom. Earth, where the peace of God will be seen. That is what we are seeing here. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 forward. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again in this, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. It will be a kingdom where we'll see peace, justice, and equity. Isaiah 65, 10 and 11. And I will rejoice 6. Rejoice, ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for her, and all ye that mourn with her. And the sinner, Isaiah 65:19-20, verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. What the prophet Isaiah is announcing to the nation of Israel, it was a promising future, an embracing future, a prosperous future. What will happen in the millennium is that what God had in mind, that what happened in the past, it would repeat itself in the future, in the millennium. We can consider an environment, the same environment that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. But by disobedience and for sin, they were expelled from the garden. But the Lord is promising to Israel and to the nations a new opportunity for the future. What a blessing. Thanks to God for the scriptures of Isaiah. Now that his partial complete fulfillment is real and his total completion will be reality in the close future. Thanks to God for the provision of a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers us freely salvation and an opportunity to participate in his millennial kingdom. That God bless us.